بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. A few ahadith regarding the ta'alluq a believer should have to the masjid, and a few lessons we can gather from the ahadith in the subject. The first one, which is a very small wording and it's something people should try to memorize. Normally the wording is, people know so much, az-zamzam lima shuribala. That zamzam, whatever you drink it for, you're going to get that. So because of which that amount of azmat stays for zamzam. Az-zamzam lima shuribala. That it is not only something to drink, but it is something to make dua before drinking. A very similar wording was mentioned with regards to the masajid. It's something that's not so long to memorize. But as we're walking to the masjid, if you can't remember the Arabic of this one, at least think of az-zamzam lima shuribala. So this is something similar. Man atal masjida li shay, fahuwa hadduhu. Man atal masjida li shay, whoever will come to the masjid for anything, فَهُوَ حَظُّهُ, that is what he's going to get. Whoever is going to come to the masjid for anything, that is what he is going to get. When an individual walks into the masjid, he can have a lot of intentions, and Allah Tabarak Tala will give him a lot. And he can be empty. And he will get his salah in the masjid, and he will walk out. But he will walk out with so much. مَنْ أَتَى الْمَسْجِدَ لِشَيْءٍ. Now a person says, how many intentions must I make when I enter the masjid? So normally the most famous one is what has been mentioned. When a person enters the house of Almighty Allah, he is the guest and Almighty Allah is the host. So his desire is, O Allah, it is the law that the host always honors the guest, honor me. And normally when a king, if he has to ask somebody, how must I honor you? That person will think according to how he thinks. Small. So the king went to go visit someone, or someone went to go visit the king, and how the king showed her, and how he gave him. As he was leaving, the king said to him, that the next time, now you don't come visit me, I'm coming to visit you. So the individual said that, rather I come and visit you. King said, no, I'll come visit you, and carried on. And after a while he said, I don't want to act rude, but remember, for me to come and visit you, it's a very easy thing, because you got space. If you're going to ever come and visit me, you won't come alone. You're going to come with such a group of people, I won't have place for anyone. So the king said to him that you have never understood a king. That if I ever have to come and visit you, I'll never disgrace you. I will first send so many things ahead of me that I'll make up your place before I come with my people. So he says, don't ever think of, if someone asks, how can I honor you? And then you start mentioning, do this for me, do that for me. Rather, when a king says, how can I honor you? You say, according to your shan. That what you think. Like, because a person who's poor, if someone tells him, how can I make you happy? He says, I think 10,000 would be okay. Or he can say that, according to you, that what you think will make you happy. Now it's something big. Now what will make you happy? Now 5,000 are going to make you happy. So if you want to honor me according to your shan. So when a person enters the masjid, man atal masjid ali shayin, we do this here, although we haven't realized it. That is why Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught such du'as, that the du'a was going to open up all the doors. It was just a thought now behind it. Allahumma aftah lana abwaaba rahmatik. So in that day was this, that honor me according to your shan. A door of your mercy, I ask for the doors. When you say, Allah, give me mercy, Allah, have mercy on me. Allah, open up a door. Allah, open up your doors. Open up the doors of mercy. So it means that you're not giving the person where you open up and you give him something through the window. When you say you open up the doors, meaning the house is yours. This is Allahumma aftah lana abwaab rahmatik. Wasahhil lana abwaab rizqik. Or any other dua you make. In the past they would write that dua, A'udhu billahi al-azim wa sultanihi al-qadim min ash-shaytani al-rajim. It comes in the hadith, a man who even makes that dua, any dua, like, he makes that dua, just on that the dua, the shaitan says to him, you have really taken protection against me now. The reason is, at that moment when he's entering the masjid, Allah is asking him, what you want? Like, so at that moment, grab the best of it. Man atal masjid li shay'in. Let the entry into the masjid not be just a jump. But understand, when you're at the door and someone opens his door and says, welcome, like, how are you? First thing he asks, what can I get you? The journey was long. You'll have water, you'll have juice. That is asked as soon as we're entering the masjid. Man atal masjid li shay. Whoever will go to the masjid for anything, fahuwa hadhu, that's what he's going to get. So when we read this, so the second hadith after that was, Fatima bintul Hussein narrates from her grandmother, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he entered the masjid, so this is something unique now, that when we enter the masjid, we read Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. So it's a very easy, one sunnah is Bismillah. One is the leg entering first, the right leg. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh would say before, that sunnah is such a simple thing. It is just that your body has to get programmed. We would laugh at it. But when we started traveling in the world, we noticed that if the body is not programmed, it will take years and years to take a man out of his program. There was a time in the world where people were taught you will eat with the left hand. Now they became so used to it that even if they listening to the bayan in front, or on the dastarkhan, someone is telling them, you know, about eating with the left hand, right hand, they'll be shaking their head and they'll still be eating with the left hand. So Hazrat Mawlana Masjidullah Rahmatullah Alayhi of Jalalabad, because at that time the British had left their impression. So this was like one of his, what we will say, his fights against culture. He could not see people eating with the left hand. And he was so soft that it was hard for him to tell a person that not in front of me. So his khadim, they would normally notice that he's sitting and then somebody else would come in front and normally the man would go with the left hand. And then they say Hazraji would just then start, his fingers would start moving like this. Yeah. As he would move, the khadim would understand someone's eating with the left hand. Yeah. And now he starts looking to try to get the message that, you know, change your hand. But that man, now why was he doing it? His intention was never that day. It was just that you programmed. So Hazrat Mawlana would say that in many things we have to reprogram. Once you reprogram, it's very easy to enter the masjid with the right leg. But it is not everyone who does enter with the right leg. Hazrat Mawlana would say that the sunnah of wearing clothing is start with the right. But it's not everyone who does that. So then he would give an example. He said, see, there's three ways to put on your trouser. He said, you either put it on from the right hand side, and that is the sunnah, or you put it on from the left hand side, and that makes the devil happy. So he said, one makes Rahman happy, one will make Shaitan happy, or you say, I like to be equal in life. So he said, you hang it between two beds, and you run and jump. So I wonder who will have me made happy. The doctor must be. He'll have more patients. So he said, number three, no one's going to do. So when no one's going to do number three, why is it so hard to leave number two and go to number one? But so we laugh. We say, it's obvious. So easy. But you go in the world and you will see how many people put on their clothing from the left hand. Why? Because when the devil programmed, he programmed it like. There's so many ways we can cut our hair. But you go in the world and you look for that hairstyle, you're not going to find it. Why? Because programming took place. Entering the masjid is a thing of programming. We might think many a time, I'm entering with the right leg. So enter with the right leg. Then Bismillah. Then Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Rasulillah. And then the dua that Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik. The person can get so much, at least four of the sunans. At that moment he say, I seek your protection, Allah, from the devil. As I told you, shaitan even says, this man has been protected. A lot of things can be given. But this narration now, why I wanted to mention it, the lesson in this narration. When we enter the masjid, we say, Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. And Allah's special salutations be on the messenger of Allah. Now what do you think Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say when he was entering the masjid? Because normally we won't say that, he would say Bismillah, wassalatu, wassalam, ala Rasulillah. Because he is the Rasul of Allah. So what was he going to say when entering the masjid? Like we read, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now what do you think he was reading? Did he have another kalima like that, ana Rasulullah? Or was he also reading Muhammad Rasulullah? Or we saying, Amantu Billahi, and on all the Rasuls of Allah, and on Muhammad, the final Nabi. Then was he also saying, and I believe on Muhammad, or was he saying, I believe on myself as the final? So she says that whenever he would enter the masjid, Salla ala Muhammad, he would send salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is something to think about now. He would send salutations upon himself, no, upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he would say, Rabbi ighfir li dhunubi, Allah forgive me, waftah li abwaab rahmatik, and like this there are many different duas. The main thing is, Allah, you honor me according to your shan. Let there be no door. When he would leave the masjid, now again you will leave with the left leg. Salla ala Muhammadin wa sallama. He would send salutations on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he would say, Rabbi ighfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab fadlik. So this was one. Whoever goes to the masjid, li shay'in fahuwa hadhu. In another narration it comes that she said, wa kana idha kharaja. Now she made her wording clear. He would say, Bismillah, wassalamu ala Rasulillah. So sometimes he would say, wassalatu ala Muhammadin. Sometimes he would say, wassalatu ala Rasulillah. Now we want to explain one point here. That how was it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would send salutations upon himself? So they mention in the kitabs that one was to teach the ummah. Because if you have to be reading Bismillah, wassalatu, wassalamu, alayya, then you have to tell the student, but when you say it, you don't say it like that. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib says that normally when someone takes bayat to him, then he gives different wazaif. So in the wazaif, normally one is that Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahimullah would say, that now and then you must say it to yourself. Supposed to be every day, but nowadays we say now and then because people don't do anything at any time. So you say now and then say to yourself that I, so Ashraf Ali Tani would explain it, I, Ashraf Ali, from all the people at the moment in the world, from all the Muslims, I am the worst presently. And from all the non-Muslims and even the animals, ma'alan, with regards to my end, at the present moment, I am the worst like. Because I don't know whether my end will be better or not. So Hazrat Mawlana said, you must do this here. And I tell you that within a few days, that pride that's inside will come out. So Hazrat Mawlana explained how you do it. You say, I, Abdul Hamid, at the present moment, from all the Muslims in the world, am the best, worst. And with regards to my ending, even worse than the kafir and the animal. Then Hazrat Mawlana says, now, this was a joke, obviously. He said, my one friend after a while came to me and said, hey, I don't know, this pride is just not coming out. Every day I sit and I say, but his name is not Abdul Hamid now. He said, every day I say, I, Abdul Hamid, at the present moment. So Hazrat Mawlana said, now when you take my name now, how your pride is going to come out now? So in this one, he said, Ala Rasulillah. He could have said, you read Ala Rasulillah, I read Aliyah. But he wasn't doing that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had respect for his own nubuwa. And this is the point that we want to understand very deeply. He had azmat and honor, so much honor for his nubuwa, that he regarded himself, Muhammad, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as two different people. So when he would cry in shukr, he was crying that Muhammad was blessed with Rasulullah. So when they asked him, so much you're doing, then he would say, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. How can I thank my Allah that in Muhammad, he put Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's unique this, where a person respects and honors himself higher than everyone else can ever respect him. He had the honor for his own self. So there's one point here now. Can we do that? Will it lead to pride, ujab? So example, you'll see a person who's been blessed with knowledge. You came to the madrasa, you got hifz of Quran, you a qari. Just iman within me and you, just life. But then going higher than that, I became an ummati of what a nabi. And then I was given that Quran of what a nabi. Then I memorized that Quran. If we can get azmat for this which is in us, but we understand it's not us, like how he regarded himself different from Rasulullah. So he would say, Bismillah wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. That Allah on the Rasul of Allah sends salutations. If I and you can make our knowledge separate from our being, and then we don't worry whether people respect us, because us means me. So me, I'm not deserving of respect because I know my faults. But I know within me, Allah in His kindness put something that's not me. So the people respecting that thing or not, that's their story. But I have to be so shy of what's within me because I know what the carrier is. So I get that azmat for what's within me. So now I want to do something in the world, and what stops me? I say, my knowledge is not allowing me. Like, so what do you mean your knowledge is not allowing you? Like, who's your knowledge and who's you? But that's where we want to reach. That no, my knowledge is different. And I am different. I was a carrier in this world. If Allah wanted to, I could have carried aqaid of kufr. And I could have promoted it in the world. I'm a carrier. And if Allah wants, recently in South Africa, there was this bomb that took place. That man who was transporting that oil, that petrol. So he hit a bridge and that fire started. So he jumped out, according to what they say, and he's running around and telling everyone, stay far, stay far. But people nowadays, they like to take pictures. So they started coming closer, closer. And when that thing blew, so it took a lot of lives. But he, when he hit that thing, he's running around and telling people, go away, go away. Why? Because he knew what he was carrying. And the power of what he was carrying. And he knew, that's not me that. I'm just the carrier. So when he banged also, he knew that that thing can kill me also. That in the wrong place now it is come, I'm gone. If me and you can work out this, that an alim, the ilm is different and the carrier of the ilm is different. Marana Abrar al-Haq Sahib, Rahimullah, was very well known for his examples. So sometimes he would just look, open his eye and he would give another example. He'd say, let's explain this. And unique examples he would give. When we had that youth program, I explained one, he would speak about tea. When someone would ask him, what's the tasawwuf? So he would say, it's like making a cup of tea. And then the whole thing was that example, he said that, you know, water, how clean it looks. But you just put the tea bag in it. And then the reality of that water comes out now. That I was not able to look after myself when I just met the black tea bag. So immediately the person, like, what an example. He said, but no worry at all. Because you just meet someone who's like milk. Like, he'll just pour a little milk and now. So now that example is an example, like a person will say, what an example. So like this year, he was in the car once and they stopped to fill petrol. So next to him, one tanker came, petrol tanker. And the petrol tanker also was filling petrol. So he said, amazing this thing is. Look at him. He is delivering petrol to the world. But he knows that if I don't have my own petrol, this petrol is going nowhere. If I don't have my own petrol, this petrol is going nowhere. He said, similarly, the ulama must understand that we got petrol for the world, but we still need someone to put petrol in us also. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck along the way. Like, amazing his examples were. What it is, the carrier is different, and the thing we're carrying is different. If we can get azmat for our ilm, azmat for our Quran. One narration, Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu most likely. He says, it does not befit the man of Quran that when others are joking and laughing, he's joking like them. Doesn't. Now why? He was yesterday Ahmad and Zaid. So now why now he can't be Ahmad and Zaid? That yesterday I was laughing. He said, now you are Hamilul Quran. Now you have started carrying something. So in this world, many a time a person, when he gets a job, and he just starts the job, then he's like shocked, I got this job, like. He honors the job, like. That man don't get pride. Because he knows that I was not deserving. The master, the boss was just kind. As days pass, which Quran mentions, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. As time passes, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Then hearts become hard. So that same person who just got the job in the first few days, like he's so thrilled. I got the job. So anything the boss is giving him, even he got his small checkbook. So when he walks with it, he'll make sure dust don't fall also because like, I have to carry the checkbook. He has drive the boss's car. How he'll drive it, he'll come out finally, he'll shine it again, take out the dust. Let a few days go. As the few days go, now he starts walking in the shop like he's the boss. A time comes where he starts criticizing the boss. Because فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ. As days pass, and you don't think about what you're carrying, you start thinking, this is me. Whereas you have to keep the gap, that no, I have been given this opportunity. But this is not me. Hazrat Marana also would explain many a time there was the famous king Mahmud Ghaznawi. So he had his main khadim who was Ayaz. And there were many incidents mentioned of Ayaz. He was also unique in his mind. So one incident they normally mention, which got nothing to do with this example, but they just say one time, and the kings of that time, they used to play a lot of games with their ministers. So at one time he let a lot of his pearls just fall. And then in front of the ministers, he said, there's so many of you now, and there's so many pearls. So everyone run towards which pearl he wants. Like, and the pearl you touch, that's yours. Like, whatever you touch is yours. So everyone ran towards a pearl. But he says, Ayaz, he ran towards the king. So the king said to him, will you not grab something? Whatever you grab is yours. So he put his hand on the shoulder of the king. So then he said, if you are mine, everything is mine. So they say it was a unique sentence for the lovers of Allah. That where everybody else asked for something of the creation, they asked for the creator of the creation. So that was it. So they speak about Ayaz, that some ministers had a doubt regarding him, that when he wakes up at night, then he's always going back to the treasury. Whereas at night time, you don't go into the treasury. So they said to the king that we noticed he's going and he's not going to perform tahajjud there. So why does a person go at night to the thing? So they had something planned where we will be also in there and see what he's up to. The king trusted him, but one, two ministers, they said, we got a doubt. So they found that he opened up a bag and he took out old clothing. And then he put on that old clothing and he looked at himself like this here. Like. And then after a while he took out the old clothing. So the king then the next morning or that same time would ask him in front of the others that's a very funny tahajjud you making. Like, who goes and dresses up at night like a clown and just puts it away? But what he explained, he said, no, that's my clothing which I used to wear before I became the selected of the king. So he says, I kept it with me in the fear that time mustn't pass and I forget what I was. And I started thinking, this is me. Because as soon as that happens, that's when pride comes. So he says, every now and then I put it on to say, no, this is me. It's only because that honor came into me from the king, my entire outside changed. Otherwise, my outside is not. My outside is still the same. I'm a carrier of something. Me and you in madrasa and in the world, we are carriers of ilm. But that ilm is not us. If we honor and respect that ilm, it will make our entire outside beautiful. And because of which the world will say, Mona, Mona, come to me. As long as we know, however, he is honoring my ilm, not me, pride will never come. Rather, you will become shy. That this man thinks this is me, this is not me. He is honoring something within me. I am only the driver. Someone brought his car, smart car. Now you jumped in. He said, can you just take your car, my car from here till there? As you're driving, the young boys are running. They also want to touch the car. But if the driver starts thinking that it's my car, they say, you're a very stupid driver. Like, you just know you took it now. And you know there you're going to jump off and it's gone. He himself, when he'll open the window, he can't have pride. He'll tell them, it's not my car. A man's car. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah explained this when one day someone praised him in front of him. So he had written a poem and then he read the poem that what a great sheikh this is. So after he went away, then later on he said, people must never praise people in front. Later on he said this. But at the beginning he used to say, you can praise. But later on before he passed away, he said, no one must praise. Because he knew very few people can manage it like. He said, there's a certain level which Allah's selected friends sometimes reach. That whoever praises anything, even if they praise them, immediately they say, no, it's not me, it's him. So much they understood of that what is within me, it's not me now. So this was this word, Bismillah wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Muhammad the son of Abdullah honored and respected his being the Rasul of Allah. And it would make him cry. It would sometimes make him wake up. And when they would tell him, but you are the Rasul, he said, no, I am thankful that I am. Thankful that I am. I am not. I am thankful. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Me and you also have been given by Almighty Allah something which is unique. And it has made our entire outside unique that the world thinks that we are emeralds and jewels. The carrier must always remember, I'm just the carrier. As long as he knows that pride will never enter, azmat will be there for himself. When he has azmat for himself, Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Rahimullah's advice to students of deen, he said, O students, apni qadar pehchan lo, that understand your own value. He said, O students of deen, understand your own value. You are the carriers of something that is unique in the world. That is why when you now want to do something, you must say, I can't do that because it doesn't allow me. Say, what doesn't allow you? Like, so you tell nafs that I got you there also. But I got ilm there also. I got you there also and I got Quran there also. Now you want to do something, but my Quran don't allow it. It's like I'm sitting with two wives within me now. And now one I have to make happy, then the other will get upset. I have to choose now. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, dunya and akhirah are like two wives. You will never be able to make both happy. He said, if you go out of your way to please one, you are going to upset the other. And then he said, فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. One is going to remain forever with you. He says, give preference to that wife over the other one that's going to disappear soon. Tell nafs that I love you so much, but this ilm just doesn't allow it. Allah tabarak ta'ala, in the barakah of this ilm that he has given all of us, Quran, the ability to read Quran, Iman, the blessings of that, Allah put us in a level that with that azmat for it, we tell ourselves, I can't do certain things. Others perhaps could have done it. Had I not been where I am today, perhaps I would have done it. But now I just can't do it. Why? I am shy about myself. I am shy for my own ill. That moment the man doesn't look around to see is anyone looking. He himself knows that I am looking. To be different from the ill that we are carrying. Allah Ta'ala grant us all understanding. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruk wa atubu ilayk.